want to welcome all of our YouTube folks on here. And I said Sunday that, you know, I would have a kind of a open briefing here on what happened last Saturday with the attempted assassination and just kind of where that fits into everything. I'm not really going to focus on the assassination attempt itself. A lot has come out since last Saturday that I'm sure most of you are aware of. And, you know, now, you know, you're seeing investigation upon investigation upon investigation. More things are coming out every day, almost every hour. The finger pointing, you know, of who's to blame and all this stuff. And of course, you have the endless stream of conspiracy theories, you know, that come up and everything like this. Everything that Trump planned this whole thing himself, you know, so he could get the sympathy of the country to the fact that he really wasn't shot in the ear. The bullet hit his podium and hit his ear, all stuff like that, you know. You got people out there on every side of the fence. I've gotten just a ton of emails this week, you might guess, and people wanting to know this, that, and the other. And it happens every time you have something major like this. You know, there's some people that that think that this was an act of God, you know, that God protected him and careened the bullet away from him, that it did not kill him. Yet there's others out there that quote Ecclesiastes 9:12 and Ecclesiastes 3:19, which basically said that for an unsaved man, the same thing happened to them that happened to animals, the beasts, and there's no rhyme or reason to it. It's just wrong place at the right time or the right place at the wrong time, whatever. You know, you got both sides of the camp. You know, everybody's going to have to decide where they come down on that one. But for me, and what I want for you, and I've done this before with other scenarios, you know, it's very obvious at this point that that there was a colossal failure with the security teams, from the Secret Service right down to everybody involved. And that's where everybody is, you know, screaming and yelling and pulling their hair out and calling for people to resign and doing all these things. You know, it's a thing where we have, you know, we have seen a real collapse within on that day. It's something that it goes on every day, and I'll show you in a moment. But it takes something like this to everybody to see it. And the problem is, everybody then focuses on this one event, and they lose the perspective of what I always like to call the big picture of what's going on. There is a in America, and this has been going on for quite a while. There's a culture that has been developed in America. Now, there's many different cultures in America. A culture is a, you know, it's a style of life or a way of thinking and a way of living your life that, you know, that America is made up by diverse cultures. You know, you have people who are very deeply Italian, so they have an Italian culture. They carry on the Italian traditions. You have the Spanish, so you have, you know, the Spanish thing. Those are all different cultures. But in America, over the last 10 or 15, 20 years, we have seen what I call a culture of deception. And some people would call it a culture of disinformation. But it's a culture that by design now has been put forth and slowly, surely has eroded almost every fabric of American society that we once knew. I was born in 1950, and I grew up in the time period, you know, of the 50s and the 60s, and even the early 70s. It really didn't start to change much till maybe the mid or the end of the 80s, into the 90s, when American life was very wholesome. It was a very family orientated. Everybody, you know, the TV programs that were on were all family orientated. You don't even remember them. You had, you know, Ozzy and Harriet, you know, you had the My Three Sons, you know, you had Leave It to Beaver, you know, and they all, you know, the Dick Van Dyke Show, you know, they all were built around family units with core values that America really was really founded on and was alive at that particular point in time. But then this culture of deception began to work its way into the American culture. And it's a thing where now we can see the overall picture of what happened in Pennsylvania last Saturday is really just like a frame out of a whole movie. And the thing that you don't want to ever do, no matter what it is, not just this, but anything in life that unfolds, you don't want to build everything around that one frame that you see, that one snapshot in time of some guy on a roof trying to shoot Trump. You don't want to lose the big perspective of what the overall movie is about. And the overall movie is about that in this country, there has been a culture of deception that has been put onto America that has really destroyed America that we once knew. And, you know, it's all about the disinformation that gets put out. And right now, tonight, we are in the middle of a complete and total breakdown of every fiber of our country. This country is about as divided as it could ever hope to be. And you're going to find that even within the two opposing parties, the Democrats and the Republicans, you find that even they're divided. Now, I'm in no way, shape, or form political in any way. I am not a Democrat, I'm not a Republican, I'm not an independent, other than an independent Baptist, but I don't get involved in that. My job is to take the gospel to both sides. And obviously, you're smart enough to know once you take a side, then you lose the opportunity to take the gospel to the other side, no matter what side it is. And it's a situation where, from my position, and I can't speak for yours, I'm speaking for mine, I have to be neutral in this sense, but I don't take a side either way. Honestly, I don't really care either way. I know where the Bible's at. I know where we're at in history. I know what is unfolding around me. I know why it is. And so, to me, all the other stuff that goes on out there is like I've been talking to you on Sunday morning. It's like the book of Esther. All these little ants are running around the ant farm and the ant hill trying to build your little kingdoms, and God is behind the scenes getting ready to trash the ant farm. And it's a thing where we're facing now a total and complete breakdown of everything that we knew in this country. And, you know, and I always tell you this, and this is rule number one for me, and it's so true. I don't care what it is. Everything rises and falls on leadership. I try to teach you and train you to be leaders. I've done that with young men and young ladies all my life. Some of the older folks here that you see around here have been with me for many, many, many years. And yeah, I trained them too to be leaders. And they are good, solid leaders. Because the thing that makes it really anything work, especially in a church, is going to be strong leadership. Now, I know the old world saying is, you know, you get too many chiefs and not enough Indians. And the idea is, you know, you get everybody being a leader, but you see, they don't understand the biblical concept. Because the first characteristic of a good leader is that when somebody else is in charge, he will submit himself to that person. He won't think of himself as he has to be the leader when somebody else has the leadership role and he's working with them. That's true leadership. And no matter what it is, and certainly in this country, the problems that we have with the protecting of our president is just the tip of the iceberg. You're seeing one framework of a major issue throughout this country that the culture of deception has been laid out to the American people. And very frankly, you know, most people either don't care or they go ahead and believe whatever they're told. Nobody really, very few people ever try to figure it out for themselves. And what happened with this colossal breakdown, and I'm sure you have followed it, you know, there's more stuff coming out now that they that the Secret Service let this guy come into the area. They search everybody, but he had a golf range finder that you go to a golf course and you can range distances. Well, he wasn't about to set up on the 18th hole. He was going to set up on a roof and shoot the president, but he used that range finder to jet the distance so he knew where the shot would go. The guy said, we with the Secret Service at that point in time did not have golf range finders on our list of things that you could not bring in. Now, I would think that my first question is, what do you need a golf range finder for at a political rally? But that's just me. But this is just some of the stuff that goes on. And now they got actually video that people, you know, saw him on the roof. They got things where it's just endless. Without getting into it all, and there's more coming out, and everybody is just beside themselves, it was a colossal failure. But we don't want to focus on that one frame and lose sight of the perspective. Because if anybody needs perspective in where we're at in the world today with what's going on, it's God's people. And I'm not responsible for everybody else out there, but I am responsible for giving you the truth and laying things out for you. So, you know, it's things like this that I don't really care what you believe about Trump. It's not my concern. I don't care. It's none of my business. But I do want you to understand what this movie is about. The movie called The Culture of Deception. And, you know, within this spirit of deceit that has been propagated, you know, everything in our country breaks down. You're going to find in our country, no matter what happens bad, there's no accountability. We have a country that is run by the elites, people who have worked their way up to power. They have tremendous power. They make tremendous money off the powers. You just saw, I don't know if you followed it or not, but the senator from New Jersey, Menendez, was arrested several months ago, and he was one of the chief senators in the intelligence grouping on the deal, and he's making all these deals with all these foreign countries, and they're giving him kickbacks. And when he finally raided his house, he had gold bars stuck in his wife's closet. He had over $500,000 in cash that he just had stuffed in his jacket pockets in the closet and had hid everywhere. He's driving two Mercedes-Benz that were given to him, and they just found him guilty on 18 counts of breaking national security and selling favors to other countries. Now, this is the third time that he has been accused of that. The first two times, he slid by. He didn't this time. But the evidence the first two times were overwhelming. But you know what? Nobody held him accountable. With the elite who run this country, they take the position that the common, ordinary man, you and me, is just too stupid to figure it out. And that you need them to control your life. And the plan is to get as big a government as they can that will infiltrate every aspect of your life. They want to tell you that you can't teach your kids, that they're going to teach your kids right and wrong and all the things that they want them to learn. And that's not your job anymore. When you raise concerns about your school and the things that were being taught, the elite classified you as domestic terrorists for your own kids. This culture of deception takes a form through the elite that the common man cannot rule himself. That you need them and big government to rule your life for you, and in time, they will take every aspect of your life and every freedom that you have. That's where this is headed. Now, obviously, I can say that's the bad news. The good news is probably the Lord's coming back before I'm finished tonight, and you don't have to worry about it. But the bottom line is simple. You need to understand what you're dealing with and what you're going on. And there is no accountability or responsibility. All they want to do is stay in power. They want to keep the power that they have, and they don't want to lose it. And they're creating a culture of deceit so they can basically control you, every facet of your life, and stay in power. And this culture of deceit wants you to believe that everything is really going good in America when the common ordinary man knows that it's not. And it's a thing where, take the economy and the inflation. Inflation is out of control. The economy is out of control. People are hurting financially. They're living paycheck to paycheck. They have trouble. They have to decide if they're going to buy groceries or they're going to put gas in their car. But the elite doesn't have those problems. And so the elite will come on television, come on their whatever their news things are, and they will tell you that everything with the economy is just fine. That's the spirit, that is the culture of deception. You're struggling, but they're telling you, no, you're not really struggling. Everything is fine. And that's what they begin to do. And you're going to find it in with our southern border, every aspect of our country. You're going to find it in our southern border that the millions of illegals in the last 4 years that have come across those borders, it isn't just Mexicans or Guatemalans or people from Central America. They're coming in from Venezuela. They're coming in from the Middle East. Nobody's vetting them. They're letting them right come in. They're letting them do go. They're sending them to all these sanctuary cities. They'll give them a court date that you've got to report to 5 years from now. And they just are absolved into our country. And it's a thing where you cannot have that many people come into your country with the nations out there that want this country destroyed like they tried in 9/11. And it's only a matter of time. And yet, we're told borders secure. Kamala Harris was made the border czar when she became vice president. And she came to the place where she never one time went down to the border to even to see what was going on. One of the reporters asked her, and this is the elite's thinking. One of the reporters asked her, "You're in charge of the border. You haven't even went down to see the situation at the border, but yet you say the border's secure. How do you know if you weren't there?" She said, "Well, I've never been to Europe either." The reporter said, yeah, I get it, but you ain't in charge of Europe. That's the elite. And they tell us that everything is fine. And of course, we see in New York and Chicago, we see the illegals that raped and killed people. You never hear one thing from the elites about that. Nobody calls those families up and says, hey, we're really sorry that that happened, because they would have to be responsible and accountable for it. And the reason why they're letting all of those illegals in is one reason, because they're going to give them amnesty, they're going to give them health care, they're going to give them cell phones, and then when the election comes around, the elite is going to get them to vote them in. So why? So the elite can stay in power. So we suffer, you suffer, the country suffers, but the culture of deception says, everything's okay at the border. There's no problem. The border's under control. Now, my old grandma was a really smart old lady. She died when I was still pretty young, and I never got to know her. She was the crusty old lady. She said what she thought, didn't care who liked it. And when she didn't agree with something or she thought she was being fooled, this was her favorite saying. Now, I have to clean this up a little bit. I cannot say it the way she said it. But you will get the gist of it, I hope, and I will make it presentable because I don't want to offend anybody here. But this is what she used to say, and I can't say it like she said it, but she would say this: don't urinate down the back of my neck and try to tell me that it's just raining. Now, there's a lot of wisdom in that, because that's what the government's doing to you. They're telling you everything is fine when it's not. And we are seeing how that, you see it in everything. You see it in crime. Go to Chicago, go to New York. You can't even ride the subways in New York anymore. I mean, Kansas City. There is no place safe in America today for you to go that they don't hijack your car, you don't get shot by a drive-by shooting, you don't get, it's just, crime is out of control. And yet, the elites who are in charge of Chicago or New York, they'll tell you that crime's actually down, when it really isn't. You're going to find that our police departments, good men and women, nothing wrong with them, but the elites that run the departments are come to the place where they hamstring these guys and gals that they have to get. I mean, first of all, how would you feel if you were a police officer when all this stuff was going down, when all of these cities were calling to defund the police and replace them with social workers? I actually think, at least for a month, that would have been a really good idea, because by the end of the month, there would be no social workers left, and you could put the police back in deal. But this is what they wanted. They wanted to take away the police. They say, well, you give them military-style equipment and weapons. They're police. They're not military. No, but the guys they're going up against all have AK-47s and M16 and AR-15s, and they got a 9mm Glock. Are you kidding me? But the elite, see, want to tell you and me, crime's down. It's okay. It's all right. Don't worry about it. And, you know, then you have the liberal prosecutors that when the police do arrest somebody, they put them in there, and they're back on the street before the paperwork is even submitted. This whole country. That thing in Pennsylvania that happened is only the tip of the iceberg, that you get to see a frame of the movie called The Culture of Deception that's in America. We are told one thing when nothing could be farther from the truth. You see it in our military. You see there again, another snapshot, another frame of the movie was our disastrous exodus from Afghanistan. It was an absolute colossal mess. We had men and women who worked for us to help us in Afghanistan that we left. And when the Taliban got there and took over, you know what happened to them. 13 of our own servicemen were killed in an explosion. And yet, the Overwatch snipers had the guy in his sights that was carrying the bomb, but couldn't get permission from the elite to shoot the guy. And yet they will get up on CNN, NBC, ABC, and they'll brag about what a great thing we did in getting out of Afghanistan. All the money they left, all the weapons they left, all the equipment they left. We probably funded two or three divisions of the Taliban with the stuff that we left behind. But you're told it was a real success. The culture of disinformation. We see it in the FBI that now has become political. The Department of Justice has become political. Now they decide not to prosecute some people that are clearly guilty, and they'll prosecute others because of their political motivation and their political viewpoint of things. You see it in the ATF. You see it in the Secret Service, which you obviously just saw. And it's the fact that the people in charge are not qualified to be the people in charge. They were politically put into those places. The lady that is in charge of the Secret Service, that has charge of directing the protection of the President of the United States and everybody that's in that thing, when she got hired, she was hired from the Pepsi Cola Company. Never had a day in any kind of law enforcement, security, other than locking up the Pepsi so the employees didn't drink it before it got shipped out. This is the problem. This is the problem. And when we see what happened in Pennsylvania, it's just a snapshot of what the whole movie is about. And you're seeing now that in everything that we do, the Homeland Security did nothing about the borders, did nothing about anything. And every time they would show him hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people coming across the border, he would say, "But the border is secure." Boy, I wish my grandmother was still around and he would say that to her. He'd get the real version of that saying. It all comes from the leadership, because everything rises and falls on leadership. Radical leaders in positions that want not to lose their power, and they know the only way they can keep power is to control the common man. Now, there is a war against the Bible. We'll talk about this on Sunday. But there's also a war against the common man. This country doesn't think you and I can think for ourselves. They also think we're dumb enough that we can see everything going around us, but they will tell us that that's not the way it really is. And yet many people do believe that. But there's enough people out there that understand that that's not true. Now, they may not be able to put the big picture together. They may not be able to see this thing as it really is. But that deception from the leadership moving down through the ranks weakens the nation. This is why what happened Saturday happened. It wasn't that the Secret Service guys were bad people. In fact, the ones that jumped on the president did their job according to protocol. But the whole thing was a fiasco. One newscaster that did a little research found out that today the Secret Service on a yearly basis gets 30 minutes of training. And yet he's faced with all these different things. Obviously, they were in charge of the whole system. They decide who goes where, who goes here, who watches this, who watches that. And yet, the failure wasn't, you got to see this, the failure wasn't in the men that were Secret Service or police officers or FBI. It wasn't in them by themselves. It was the system that controls them, that gives them the protocol that broke down. That just as the people in charge don't know what they're doing, it filters down, and the guys and the women on the street, in the ranks, they lose their edge. They lose their edge. Hey, it's the same way in a church. Are you kidding me? If you have a pastor who just is a blasé pastor that doesn't know anything about the Bible and doesn't care anything about the Bible, to him it's just a job, you think his people and his congregation are going to keep the razor edge that they need to be everything that God wants them to be? Of course not. No, it takes somebody that is accountable, somebody that holds you responsible, somebody that takes a hard line about the serious things and then prepares and trains those people to handle every situation. The thing I like about you guys, all of you just about, I know some of you are young, but you'll get there. And I've seen this happen. I could drop most of you into any scenario that requires major Bible, major issues, major this, major that. I could drop you into any scenario and you can handle it, function through it, get the Word of God, get the principles, and deal with it. You know why? Because you've been trained to do that. Nobody gave you an easy pass. The guy at the top here, me, understands that it's my responsibility to keep you sharp. Now, you may choose to go beat your head upon a rock and dull yourself out. That's your deal. But on an overall, that's my job. The buck stops here. And it's my responsibility to make sure that you're as sharp as you can be for God to use you. Okay, it's the same way with whatever government agency that you want to talk about. The guy at the top, it's his responsibility to make sure that the guys in the field who have tremendous responsibility never lose their edge, never get complacent. You don't ever want the FBI debacle like it was in 1963 when Kennedy was assassinated. But that's where we're back to. And I say again, you got to see this. What happened last Saturday is only a frame of the movie that is destroying this country and the men and women who are dedicated their lives and put their lives on the line to protect us, the president, and everybody else have been betrayed at the top. And the liberal agenda has woven its way through, and they want to stay in power so there is a culture of deception that the common, ordinary man gets swaddled up in. He's told that everything is just fine. Trust us. Ronald Reagan said the 10 most terrible words that any American could ever hear is, "Hi, I'm from the government. I'm here to help." And boy, he was right. Because all they want to do is control so they can stay in power. And it's a thing where, does anybody actually think that when Trump got almost assassinated and everybody poured out their sympathy, do you actually think that everybody in the Democratic Party was really sorry that bullet wasn't 3 inches to the left? It's a game. They say what they're supposed to say to stay in power. I guarantee you, there isn't a one of them, from Nancy Pelosi to Biden to anybody in the middle, who is actually sorry that that guy missed. Because that would have solved all of their problems. But this is the game that the culture of deception plays. And it does the thing where their whole agenda is to take the common man, who is the heart and soul of any country, and to destroy them by taking over and taking control of every aspect of their lives. And what happens is, because the elite at the top are so unprepared, and they don't care about right or wrong, they don't care about your safety, they don't care about your food, they don't care about your kids, they don't care if an illegal rapes them, they don't care if somebody across the border kills them, they don't care. All they care about is staying in power. And they'll tell you and me, the disinformation, that everything is just wonderful, when in actuality, it really isn't. And I don't care what you believe. I don't care what your political affiliation is. That means nothing to me. That's your business. But I am telling you this. God's people need to understand that all of this that you saw Saturday, that everybody now was blowing up, by next week, it'll be another controlling issue. Have you noticed now, since Saturday? When's the last time you heard about the war in Ukraine? When's the last time you heard about the war over in Israel, in Gaza? You see, they just jump from one thing to another. And they jump on what is hot right now, and you don't even hear anymore about Biden being too old from everybody else, because everybody is focused on what happened. And you know what? 2 weeks from now, it'll be something else. And then it'll be something else again. But it all follows the same pattern. The pattern, the culture of disinformation and deception, that they will completely tell you everything is fine when it's not. Look what has come out of the COVID-19 colossal with Dr. Fauci and all the things that they made us do. All the stupid things that the government mandated us to do, that now we know had nothing to do with anything to stop anything. But it was a control thing. And yet, to this very day, where did that virus start? We know it started from China in the Wuhan lab over there. And they tell us that some bat crapped on a pig. And you ate the pig. Somebody ate the pig and then got COVID, because the bat crap brought COVID into the pig crap, or the pig meat, and you ate Arthur Bryant's, and the rest is history. I guarantee you, that virus started in that lab as a biological weapon, and America was part of it. And the reason why, they have the ability to find out and let the American people know what really went on. But they won't do it. They have the ability to give you insight into everything out there that they don't think you can handle, so they're not going to tell you, including aliens. I guess you maybe just saw this week, this is just a side note, I won't deliver it on this, but I guess you did see this week that you've heard me talk about it before. I made no accusations. I just tell you what to look for. But you do know that Elon Musk this last week came out on his deal and claimed that he was an alien. Nice to know that Elon's following my website. They will hide from you everything they can that exposes them. And it'll be times like Saturday that they can't cover that up. It actually happens. It could have been much more tragic than it was. But at the same time, it wasn't just that event. But they want you to believe that. So they will cover up everything they can, point as many fingers, blame as many other people as they can, so it doesn't come back to where it all started. Because that's what they do. And it's a thing where the American people buy into it. I don't want you buying it. I don't care what you do. I've never told you what to believe, what to do, how to vote. That's none of my business. I don't care. It doesn't bother me at all. But I am telling you this. I want you to be aware of what goes on. I want you to keep the big picture in mind, because the big picture is going to keep you from getting swallowed up and getting deceived in a lot of things in life. And hey, our country is slowly going to erode into anarchy. It's going to get so bad, people are going to get so fed up with it, it's going to get so out of control that people are going to try to take things into their own hands, and it's going to be a bad deal. But that's where it's going. They want to control every facet of our lives. And I say that not caring one way or the other, because I know that none of that has anything to do with what God's called me to do, or what He's called you to do, actually, too. That doesn't stop me. People hear what I say tonight, and they go out of here, or they listen to it on there, and they get fearful, and they're afraid, oh, what are we going to do? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do the same thing I did yesterday. I'm going to preach the Word of God, declare the Word of God, and win as many people as I can to Christ. And it doesn't matter to me if they start to close the loops and coming down and say, you can't do this, or you can't do that, or you can't say this, I'll continue to say it. And if they come down and they say, well, you know what, it's against the law now to preach the Bible, you can't say this about this, or this person or that person, you can't preach this anymore, or you got to send your sermons into us so we can approve it, I ain't sending them into anybody, and I'll keep on proving it. If they come down and arrest me and throw me in jail, hey, I'll start a jail ministry. It doesn't matter where I do it. But for many of God's people, it does matter. And they'll sell out. They won't ever, ever, ever take the stand that they need to take. And I'm just talking about taking a stand for truth. I don't believe in insurrections. I don't believe in riots. I don't believe in arming everybody and overthrowing a government. That doesn't solve anything. That's what the world does. I got the greatest weapon in the world. And you know how I know that? I know that because I know 9 countries that outlaw this Bible, but I don't know one country that outlaws atomic bombs. Why? This is more powerful. I got the greatest weapon I need. And my job, your job, our job is to declare it, no matter how this country goes. I want you prepared. I want you ready to be able to stand in the face of adversity and get the job done. Now, when push comes to shove, if the Lord tarries His coming, and this thing is only going to get worse, it ain't going to get any better. Don't get an idea that if the Republicans get in the deal, that it's going to be better. Get the big picture. I've told you before Israel went into captivity, and we are headed into a captivity. Before Israel went into captivity, you had Ahab, a bad king, Jezebel, a bad queen. You had bad kings, and then you had one or two good kings. You had some bad ones, and then you had some more good ones, and then you had a bad one, and you had a good one, and they still went into captivity. You know why? Because it was too late. Israel had committed the sin of rejecting God and His word as a nation, and it didn't matter if a good Republican got in to be king or a Democrat got in, God was finished with Israel, and God's finished with America. Doesn't matter who gets in. May give you a little time, may make things better. Coffee may go down from $1.50 a cup to $1.20. I don't know. But the bottom line is, it ain't changing anything. God is finished with America. And the quicker you understand that, and the quicker you realize your job in these last days is to hold that book high and win as many people to Christ as you can and get as much done in these last moments as we can, Don't get caught up in what the government's doing. Don't get caught up in what happened last Saturday. That's the way it's going. Don't look at one frame of a whole movie. Understand what's happening. And then understand that we are the light that shineth in darkness. We're the only hope that the people you work with, your friends, your neighbors, the people that you associate with in this world that we live in, you are the only hope for them to see the light and to trust Christ. And I just want you prepared, understand. I don't care what you believe, what your political affiliation is, who you vote for, that means nothing to me. I'm telling you right now, the stand that we need to take is for that book in these last days. But you have to understand what's going on, or you get caught up in one snapshot, one frame of the movie, and all the focus and all your energy goes to that. You can't let that happen. You have to see everything in a perspective and a context. And that's what I wanted to show you tonight, based on everything that's unfolding and coming to light about what happened. And it'll go on for the next weeks. There'll be Senate committee meetings, and there'll be hearings, and there'll be subpoenas, and there'll be this, and there'll be say, I want you to step down, you need to be fired, you need to step down. Nobody's going to step down. Nobody's going to get fired. The elite never lose their job. They always try to stay in power. So, any questions before I move on to the next one here? I just want to lay that out for you. I want you to be able to understand where we're at. Anybody? Anybody got something you want to say? If something you saw or heard, it's all good, man. I think that's amazing. Thank you for letting me know that Biden stepped down. I heard it was getting close, but that's pretty amazing. I didn't think he'd do it that quickly.
I don't think he has yet.
Yeah, he just showed me before. He's decided he's stepping down. I'm sorry? Who's got the mic? I'm sorry? Hold on, he's coming with a mic, I think. Maybe not.
He's saying it's not official yet.
I can't hear you either.
No, it wasn't official.
You know, we ought to get, they got this invention that's called microphones. We ought to get a couple.
Okay. Steve is saying it's not official yet.
Huh?
Biden stepping down is not official yet.
Not official, but what did the news thing say?
He's compiling a letter that's going to be presented this weekend.
Okay. Well, we'll see. But then you see what'll happen? That'll shift everything to the other arena. See where it's going? It just never ends. And you know how it'll wear you out? If you don't just keep the big picture, I mean, you got to do that. Every year, you just got to do that. All right. Well, I got a question here that I want to get to that I think is a good one. This will answer a lot of things for you. This came in off my phone here. Okay. Hi, Bob. I have a question for Bible study. If you look all over the internet, you will see countless testimonies of people converting to Catholicism. Many of them celebrities, politicians, and many of them from a Protestant or even Baptist background. It seems that it is something that is really become a big thing in recent years. I was wondering why exactly this is happening, especially right now. Does it have to do with the coming one world religion of the Antichrist? Well, that is a good observation, son, and that's a good question. And the answer to your question, and here again, this is getting the big picture of something. I can't, and I know I say it all the time, I can't stress to you how important that in anything that you look at, especially in history, but also in issues of life, that you get to see and understand the total dimensions of it all. And the answer to this guy's question is found in what happened in 1970. Now, let me just say this. The Catholic Church has always been the premier religious force in the world. There's no question about that. And I don't make any apologies for it. If you know your Bible even a little bit, you know that the Roman Catholic Church is the devil's church. That is so clear from the Bible, especially in the book of Revelation, chapter 17 and 18. You'd have to be blind to miss it. And the Catholic Church has always been about world power. And power is the thing that motivates everybody in the world, from the kings of England to France to Germany, all down through history. This is why up till World War I, all the European nations, their kings and queens of all the countries were all intermarried. They all were related. The king of England was second cousin to the king of, or the guy in Russia. And what they did was they formed an elite status that stayed in power for centuries and could not be broken. And you see that same thing trying to play out in America with what I just gave you. So the roots of that is in the monarchs and the dynasties and in Europe that for 1,500 years, it was all connected to families. There wasn't one king of any nation that wasn't bloodline related to several other kings through marriages, or their daughters married this king, that they all were connected. And that's how they stayed in power. And they called them dynasties. They called them monarchies. Well, that all ended with World War I. The five main monarchies in Europe was done with by World War I. The only one that was left was England, and we know why that was. But it's the thing where, you know, the monarchies have always tried to stay in power. And that's why the Roman Catholic Church in England and Europe, she controlled those nations and she stayed in power by making alliances with the kings of those nations. And they all were Roman Catholic. And that's why, like I showed you last week, when England broke, it caused such a fuss because Rome lost that. But the Roman Catholic Church has always been portrayed. The devil has always protected her, always made sure that she was always given the appearance of being, as she claims, the only true church. You're going to find that in movies, that no matter what movie you see, if there's somebody there that represents a religious affiliation, he'll be a Catholic priest. And it's a thing where he'll never be a Baptist, he'll never be a Baptist preacher, it'll always be a Catholic priest. And through that subtle reinforcing of that, just like the culture of deception in the government, you see one in religion, and the world believes that the Catholic Church, you know, is the main religion. Kennedy was the first Catholic president, and the Catholics had a tough time in America before Kennedy, and they Catholics were not, it was hard for a Catholic to get to be president. But what happened in the 50s and the 60s, that through Cardinal Spellman in New York, who has been called the Pope of the United States, they got into our government. By 1963, the whole government was Roman Catholic, from the head of the CIA to the head of the FBI to everybody that was in power play was a Catholic. The only thing they lacked was a Catholic president, and they got that in Kennedy. And there's a great reason for all of that and a great study that sometime maybe I'll walk you through. But the Catholic Church has always had its foundation in America. You're going to find that once America, and you don't hear much about this war, after America became a nation through the Revolutionary War, there was another war that came up shortly after that called the French and Indian War. You don't hear much about that. The French and Indian War was the France trying to come back and take over America, Roman Catholicism, and of course use the Indians with them that were pro-French to try to disrupt and take America back. You don't hear much about that. But she's always been right there, you know, trying to gain the preeminence of everything in this country. And she pretty much has. The thing that stopped her pretty much was the Bible Belt movement with the Bible believers that, you know, really took a stand back in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. But she's never outdone. In Europe, from 500 AD till 1500, you know, I've told you this before, Europe was what we call the Dark Ages. The Dark Ages have come again to America, and literally the world, but especially America. The Dark Ages were based on the Catholic Church taking away the King James Bible and any Bible that was off of that text and throwing the world into the darkness. That's what she's done today by taking the King James Bible out of the hands of the common man and replacing it with her Bible under the guise of it being a new translation, NIV, ASV, all the other ones that are out there. But in 1970, you began to see a spectacular movement that is really the answer to this guy's question. And it's called the Catholic Evangelical Collaboration. And this started, believe it or not, with Jerry Falwell and a great theologian in some people's minds, Francis Schaeffer. Jerry Falwell started a church in Lynchburg, Virginia. Jerry Falwell, in his early days, was a really good preacher and built a good, solid church in Lynchburg. Then he fell into the culture of deception, and he began to cease being a pastor, even though he still pastored the church. But now he got involved in politics with what was called the Moral Majority. And the Moral Majority was a movement started by him to bring America back to God by bringing a morality back to America. Now, if anybody fell into the disinformation and the culture of deceit, Jerry did. He knew better. I talked with, he used to come to Kansas City to preach, and I used to go pick him up at the airport, and I've had several conversations with, he's dead now, but I had several conversations with him over the years just to figure out where he was coming from. And he actually believed at that point that the only way that America could ever get back to God was for Christians to get into politics. And he knew better than that. He had to. I mean, I would think from where he came from or what he did, he would have, but because you don't do it that way. The only way you bring America back to God is to get 100 million Baptist preachers tearing the paint off the wall every Sunday morning in their churches and turning the world upside down with the preaching. That's how you do it. But that's where it began. And what happened out of the Moral Majority, the Catholics always have stood for some kind of morality. You know that they're adamant against abortion. And this was an issue that began to put both of them together. The Catholics were against abortion. Christianity was against abortion. So it was a common thread that they thought that they could begin a coalition with to bring morality back to America. Now, that's where it started with these guys. That thing kind of grew and got going, and it came about the end result in 1994. In 1994, a bunch of Protestant, evangelical, and Catholic bishops and priests met and signed what was called the Catholic Evangelical Accord of 1994. It was a statement that Catholics and evangelicals was going to put aside their doctrinal differences, and they were going to work together to evangelize the world in the third millennium. We're living in the third millennium, by the way. Nobody cared about baptism for salvation that the Catholic Church taught. Nobody cared about Mary being the mother of God. Nobody seemed to care on the evangelical side about, you know, praying to Mary, the saints, you know, and all that stuff. And the reason for that is because none of the evangelicals had a Bible. And doctrine was gone out of their world long before this happened. So it didn't matter to them. And they came to the place where they met. It was based on, actually, the Council of Nicaea in 325, where they did fundamentally the same thing about the deity of Christ. And only this time, they were doing it to set up a coalition between the two to bring a morality back to America by evangelizing together. Now, this is where I have a tough time with this. Can you imagine you going soul winning with a Roman Catholic? I mean, it's unbelievable. The two are so far apart. It's the marriage of what was God's church to the devil's church. And when that happened, all the evangelical pastors at that time signed the accord. Let me give you a few of them who did. Charles Colson. I don't know if you know who Charles Colson is. He was in the Nixon presidency. He was something for him. He got caught up in Watergate and he went to prison. And in prison, he supposedly got saved. And when he come out, he became a Christian writer and an evangelical. And he signed, he was there. He was a big guy after that. He was everywhere. You don't remember him probably, or never heard of him. But he was there that signed it. Everybody knows who Pat Robertson was. He had the 700 Club. And of course, he's a charismatic. And he was there to sign it. You had Bill Bright. Bill Bright was the founder of what we have known as Campus Crusade. And Campus Crusade was an evangelical ministry. And they went into campuses and evangelized people, students at the campus. He signed it. There was a theologian that, I don't know a lot about this guy. I've heard about him. His name was J.I. Packer. He was a theologian. He signed it. The most notable one that was there that signed it was Billy Graham. By this time, Billy Graham had been completely destroyed in any truth doctrine. He had just wrote a book and talking about great Christians in the world, and he said that Pope John was probably the greatest Christian leader in the modern day world. So you can see where all this stuff is going. And the accord then basically cemented together the ecumenical movement, Catholics, and the charismatics. So what you see today, what's going on today, is the result of that accord. It's been a slow process that the evangelicals have. You see, when I was growing up, and the Baptist churches were really the hog in the mail as far as, there were no evangelical churches then. They were called Bible churches back then, and there wasn't a lot of them. And when the Baptists started to go through their demise, and they ceased to be the power that was really putting Christianity on the map, and they began to lose their steam, then you begin to see the rise of the ecumenical movement. Now, the ecumenical movement is called neo-evangelicalism. Neo means new. So it means that they now have a new evangelical approach, which includes the Catholic Church. So the churches out there today that you would classify as a neo-evangelical church, just so you know, are basically churches that claim that they're not associated with a denomination. Many of the Baptist churches in the area here were once Baptist churches. They had Baptist on their name. They've taken Baptist off. And they've done that because they have become neo-evangelical. It was a slow process. If you look at First Baptist Church in Raytown, they have changed their name. I can't remember what it was. It's some goofy name. But they had to wait for a long time to do that. And the reason why they had to wait for a long time is because there were a lot of old people in that church that helped build that church. Probably the whole church was filled with people like that. And they would have never stood to take Baptist off their name because they were traditional Southern Baptists. Most of them have probably died now. They got a fresh group in there that knows nothing about the Bible. And so they take Baptist off their name. But if you look at the front of it, they still have carved out there in little words, First Baptist Church of Raytown. But then the big name overshadows it. Can't think what it is. It's an important time. But anyway, you find that all through Christianity today. And not all the neo-evangelicals will line up with the evangelistic accord. But they all will do one thing that, or two things actually, that will put them right there. One of them will be they all dump the King James Bible, and two, nobody teaches doctrine. They'll let anything happen that wants to happen. There's no barriers. They think doctrine keeps people from getting saved. And doctrine should keep people from getting saved, because doctrine is the first thing you have to accept to be saved. So, but they've just reversed the process. So you're seeing, there was a movie that came out here, and you see it on TV where that guy, and he's a Mark Wahlberg or whatever his name is, you know, he's Catholic, and I'm sure he's making a reference to this, and he'll get on in a commercial, and he'll, you know, bless himself, and then he'll say, they have this thing now that a prayer app you can get, and it's a thing where, you know, back in my day, they didn't have computers, so they had a prayer line you could call in, you know, and you could call every day and there'd be a verse for the day, and it was a prayer line. You call in and you got a verse for the day, you know. You call in and say, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice," and then you'd go on, and that's what they did back then. We didn't have computers then. Then the atheists came up with one, and they had their atheist prayer line that you call that, and nobody ever answered. So now we have a prayer app, see? And you get onto that thing. And then they had this series on TV. I didn't watch it because Guadalcanal Diary was on that night. But they had this series about Jesus. And the guy that played Jesus actually, from the world perspective, looked like Jesus. He has long brown hair, and you would sit there and you'd say, "I bet you, you know," and he was a very nice looking guy, and I can't think of his name, but he's an actor. And after he made that movie, he too was Catholic, and the whole movie was built to promote the Catholic Church. They all do. I mean, how do you go all the way back to Cecil Bill DeMille's The Ten Commandments, and it's Catholic. You see Ben-Hur, you know, and it's Catholic. You know, they put out, I don't know if you know it or not, they put out a homosexual one, Ben Gay. He was Catholic. Anyway, they all hold up that Catholic Church. So now he's done making the movies, and he comes on in the commercials, and he's still got the flowing brown hair. He looks just like you would think Jesus did, and he's promoting the Catholic Church. You see it on the billboards if you pay attention. The Catholic Church is really hitting billboards about coming back to the Catholic Church. So all this is happening that you see today, and obvious, yes, we're headed toward the ends. The Catholic Church is going to be the Antichrist religion. He's going to usher in, certainly, the one world. Yeah, I get all that for sure. But you need to understand where it started. It just didn't happen. Again, the big picture. You got to look at the whole movie. And it goes all the way back to the 70s, in America anyhow, and begins making the inroads into Bible Christianity all the way back in the 70s. And then by the time you get to the 90s, the Baptists are gone, pretty much. And now you have the new evangelical. And all these guys are taking Baptist off the name of their church. And now they become what they call interdenominational or no denomination. And of course, that's a fallacy in itself. The minute you say, well, I'm non-denominational, I'm an evangelical. Well, that's your denomination then. I mean, come on. But it's a thing where you're seeing this revival of the Catholic Church, just like you saw it in the Dark Ages. And it's prevalent today simply because there's no Bible. There's no truth. There's no doctrine. There's churches like ours that are scattered all across this country with good men that are standing with good people teaching the Bible, but they're a very small minority. So what you're seeing here is actually the end result of 60, 70 years, 50, 60 years of preparation for the Catholic Church to move into. She's already moved into the Bible colleges through the Jesuit movement. I showed you that several weeks ago. She certainly moved into the secular world of education. So now she's moving into the religious section, and where once Catholics and Baptists and Christians were two different things. You know, it wasn't until probably the 1960s to 65 that Catholics were not called Christian. Do you know that? If you had asked a Catholic, are you a Christian? No, I'm a Catholic. They weren't considered Christians. We were considered Christians. They were considered Catholics. And there was the stark division between the two. But the Catholic Church has bridged that gap now. And through the accord, putting everything together, you know, this was the great thing that all the fundamentalists and the Bible teachers had against Billy Graham, is the fact that he united with so many liberals and brought about that very mindset of no doctrine and everybody's okay. And then he wound up coming to the place where he didn't even believe maybe there was a hell. He thought Muhammad and his crew were saved, and now he thinks Pope John was the greatest influence in Christianity in modern time. Okay. So it's a thing where, to answer to your question, that's where it started, and that's why you're seeing it to the level that it is today, and that's going to keep moving too. That's going to keep moving. The Catholic Church is a great... The Catholic Church is a great organization to be part of, because you can live whatever you want to live, do whatever you want to do, and, you know, and when you die, a priest can come over and fix it for you so you can go to heaven. You might spend a little time in purgatory, but if your mom and dad or your wife will throw money in the plate, you can get out of that. So it's a great gig. Notice how the evangelicals have done the same thing. Where the Catholic Church makes it you can live your life and do whatever you want to do in the world and still go to heaven. The evangelicals have done the same thing in their church service. They bring in the world's music. They bring in the world's everything. You can drink now. You can do now. You can do everything now. And it's okay because no doctrine. And so you can see where, you know, just like I told you earlier on, the deception of culture of deception in our government, it's the same way in Christianity. And we'll talk more about that probably on Sunday when we get into it. So, good question. Well, let's hold up there. And like I said, starting out, I don't care what you believe. If you're a Democrat, I don't care. If you're a Republican, I don't care. If you're an independent, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I just want you to know what's going on. I want you to be prepared for that you don't just get sucked into one thing over here and it draws all the energy and it takes your attention off maybe what the left hand is doing over here. So you want to pay attention to that. So, all right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you and praise